Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. When we know that certain people are coming to our house, we make sure the house looks good for them. Then at times, company comes when you're not expecting it. When your house is a mess and you can be throwing stuff everywhere as people are pulling in the driveway trying to make sure it looks halfway decent for when that unexpected guest comes in. I'm blessed that I married someone who makes sure the house is clean at all times. We get up in the morning and she'll be like, did you make the bed? Why? Nobody's coming. And even if they do, they're not going to come in our room. Well, they could come. Someone could come. And so the bed has to be made and the house has to be in order. Her response is always, you never know when someone might come. And you know what? This is the attitude that we should have when it comes to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, you never know when someone might come visit you, so you want to make sure your house looks good. Well, Jesus teaches us that we don't know when he's coming back, so we need to be about his business. We need to be about what he is doing, and this is the attitude that we are to have when it comes to the return of Christ. We do not know when he will be coming back, but we need to be ready. We need to make sure our spiritual beds are made because Jesus could come back today. Mark chapter 13 is, the entire chapter of Mark 13 is Jesus talking about signs of the return. Now we're going to pick up in verse 28 where he says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it or he is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Lord, we do just thank you for this passage. We thank you for this warning, this message that comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would hear and heed this message. I pray that we would be ready at the return of Christ, that he would not find us sleeping, but would find us ready and eager, serving him each and every chance that we get. I pray now, Lord, that your spirit would take over in this place. I pray that your spirit would take over me so that everything that I say would be spoken through the power of the Holy Spirit in all boldness and in all power. Lord, help me not to hold back your word, but to preach it in its truth and in its entirety. And Lord, I pray that you would just take over this service as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, we have been going through this series titled Watch Out. We began by looking to watch out for those who divide. You know, we got to be careful of people who seek to divide the church. The enemy will try to get a foothold into the church and try to divide us any way that he can. And often we allow him to use us to cause divisions in the church. The second thing that we looked at was watch out for false teaching. You know, the Pharisees, who were considered the religious leaders, didn't always have their theology correct. And we got to be careful of people whose theology is not in the right place. Then last week, we looked at our need to watch out for greed and how greed can take our focus off of Christ and it can become about money instead of about Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to conclude this series by looking to watch out for Jesus. And because we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back. And as we begin here today, Jesus says, take a note from the fig tree. You can look at a fig tree and can tell. You know, once again, we see Jesus using what is around him in order to teach the people a deeper truth. We have seen that the last 3 weeks, where Jesus has taken something that's happening there, something that's around him, and he uses that to teach something deeper, something much more profound. In verse 4 of chapter 13, we see that the disciples ask Jesus, when will these things take place? And so over the next set of verses, Jesus gives the signs that show the events that will take place at his return. As you go through chapter 13, you see different things that are going to take place that precede the return of Jesus Christ. And so to help them understand, he uses the parable or the lesson of the fig tree. You can look at a fig tree and know that summer is near. By the budding of the fig tree, by the turning of the things on the fig tree, they could know, hey, summer's almost here, because that's when the fig tree begins. And so, just like you can know the fig tree, you can know that these things are near, that his return is near. And so, when the fig tree sprouted, this was a sign that summer was near. We have things like this in our society and in our culture today, where we know when the seasons are about to change. It could be the flowers start to bloom. It could be the birds start to come and begin to sing their certain songs. And this tells us that spring, that summer is close. It could be the leaves on the trees begin to change their color and then fall off. And it helps us to know that the season is about to change. Just as we are able to see these signs, just as we're able to see the signs of the changing of seasons, we should be able to see the truth from the Word of God concerning the return of Jesus Christ. We cannot know when he's coming back, but we can know it's near. And that's the beauty of what we see. He is near. He says in verse 29, he says, so when you see these things happening, the things that he's listed above, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the doors. The return of Jesus is closer than it has ever been. And with each day that passes, we get closer and closer to the return. We can know from the signs that he is near. We can know from the signs that we see in the text that the return of Jesus Christ is near. Chapter 13 shows us events that will happen. Verse 6 shows us that false leaders will claim to be Christ. Well, do we see people claiming to be Christ? Okay. It says there will be wars and rumors of wars in verse 7. Do we see wars and rumors of wars in our world? Yep. Verse 8 says, nation will rise against nation. Do we see that? Yep. Verse 8 also says, there will be earthquakes in various places, famines and troubles. Now, how many earthquakes have recently been happening in Colombia? Verse 12 says that brother will betray brother, and father, and enemies will be in the own household. Do we see that? Yep. And verse 13 says, Christians will be hated by all. So all of these things that Jesus spells out in chapter 13, we see happening in our world. And so we can know that the return of Christ is close. Now, we also know that with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So it could still be another 1,000 years, but it's close. Because we are seeing the signs. We are seeing the beginning birth pains. We are seeing the signs of the end from the Word of God. It will not be long until Jesus Christ comes back for his bride, the church, to take us home to be with him. Once the church is removed, the tribulation will come and God's wrath will be poured out upon the world. It's amazing to know that a day is coming when Jesus Christ will come for his church. He will take us home to be with him. And then when he takes us home, this time of tribulation that we see in Revelation and Daniel will take place. We also see it in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13. This time of tribulation that's going to be intense, it's going to be awful, and it's going to be when the wrath of God is poured out upon this earth because of their disobedience. And then after that time of tribulation, Jesus Christ will come back to the earth where he will set up his rule, where he will set up his reign, and where he will lead for all eternity. Jesus does say something in the text that can be hard to understand, though. Because he says, this generation will by no means pass away before all these things happen. Well, what does Jesus mean by that? Because the generation in Jesus' day has passed away and he is still not returned. So when he says his generation has passed away, what does he mean? Well, it could mean that the generation that is on earth when these things take place will be the generation that's still alive when he returns. Because he's talking about these things. So when the tribulation starts, the same generation will still be alive. Another meaning is that generation could also stand for the Jewish race, and that the Jewish people will still be on earth when these things take place. And so Jesus helps them to understand that, you know, there's going to be certain people that's going to be around when all this happens. And as we look at the text, we may not know all the details of the return of Jesus. We may not even agree on all the details of the return of Jesus. There are so many beliefs around the return of Jesus. There is, and I'm not going to spell all of these out. You can ask me later, but just so we understand, there's all these different opinions. There's amillennialism, premillennialism. Within premillennialism, there's historic premillennialism and dispensational premillennialism. Then there's postmillennialism. Then there's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. And all these deal with the end times, and there's arguments and debates over all of these. How Jesus is going to come back? Will the church be here for the tribulation? Will the church be raptured for the tribulation? And there's argues and debates and concerns, but there is one thing that no matter which one of those camps you fall under, there is one thing that every single camp agrees on, and that's he's coming back. And that's where our focus needs to be on. We may not know how, we may not know when, we may not know all the details, but the one thing that you and I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back. And we can know that he's coming back at a time that we don't expect. And I love what Jesus says. He says, all these things, everything that you know is going to pass away. The heaven and earth is going to pass away. But you know the one thing that's not going to pass away? And that's the words of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. With a simple sentence in the middle of Jesus talking about his return, he helps us to see and know just how important the word of God is. We can often downplay the word of God, and we can say, well, we don't need to read it every day. We don't need to spend time in God's word every day. We can say that it's an old book. It doesn't matter anymore. We can even use the excuse that we don't understand what it has to say. We can make excuse after excuse why we don't spend time in the Word of God. But if the Word of God is not important, then why does Jesus say it ain't going to pass away? If the Word of God is not important, why does Isaiah say the word that goes out from the mouth of God will not return void? The Word of God is vital. The Word of God is important. And you and I are blessed today because we have the written words of God. This book is not the work of men put together to try to force people into submission. These are the very words of our Almighty, awesome God. In this book, we find the words of God to his people. We find the love that he has for people. In this book, we see the words of Jesus. Many of us have what we call red letter editions, which clearly and quickly show us the actual words spoken by Jesus Christ, which are the words that we're seeing today. It is Jesus Christ who says his words are not going to pass away. They're never going to pass away. Heaven and earth will one day be gone. Now, heaven can mean sky or heaven as we know it. Often in Scripture, the word heaven simply means sky. Other times it means the abode of God. In Revelation, we see that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and earth will be gone, but God's word will not. One study Bible says, Jesus' words are eternal. His teachings are more abiding than the fundamental elements of creation. The basic elements of creation will pass away, but Jesus' words will never disappear. Another commentary says, "Nothing is so true, stable, permanent, and abiding as the word of our Lord. Here is a firm foundation on which we can stand forever. No wonder the prophet Isaiah was inspired to write, 'The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever.'" One thing that will never pass away are the words of our Savior. We need to know that the words of our Savior are so important that they will outlast the earth. It's in the words of Jesus, it's in the words of Christ that you and I find hope. Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 17:20, where he is praying for his disciples, says this, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but also for those also who believe in me through their word." What we see from the context of John 17:20 is that Jesus is praying for you and I, because we have come to believe in Jesus through the word of the disciples who wrote their account of Jesus. John 14:3, "And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." It is in the words of Christ that we find hope and peace and encourage. Praise be to God that the words of Jesus will never pass away. Praise be to God that the words of Jesus will outlast anything and everything. Jesus said he will come again. And we can know that he will. When he comes back, we need to be ready. When Jesus returns, we need to be ready. 32 through 37 is a hard but powerful passage of scripture. He says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." No one knows when he's coming back. We need to be ready because there is no way of knowing the time that Jesus will come back. Again, we can know that the time is close, but we cannot know the exact moment. It's easy for us to think that we have plenty of time to figure things out and get on the right path. It's easy to say, well, I'll get saved tomorrow. It's easy to say, well, I'll get serious about my walk with Jesus tomorrow. It's easy to say, well, I'll be faithful and all that stuff later. Right now, I just want to live my life. Well, later may never come. Jesus could come back at any moment. The truth is, we do not know how much time we have. As we see from this passage, the return of Jesus Christ could happen at any moment. And as the church, as the people of God, we need to be ready. The story's message is that we don't know when Jesus will come back, and so we need to be ready for it. When he returns, no one can know. So this teaches us that we need to be ready at all times. We are even told by our Savior to keep alert or stay awake or be watchful. Jesus tells a story to try to help them understand. He talks about a master or a person who goes on a journey. And as this guy goes on a journey, he leaves his servants in charge. He gives tasks to his servants to do, and he gives a specific task to the doorkeeper and says, "Watch." Now, this word "watch" means to be alert, to stay awake, to be ready. And so in these few verses, you see that word watch four times. Jesus says it four times. And so that helps us to see the emphasis that Jesus is trying to give. And as we look and understand this passage and in this context, Jesus is the master. He is the one that's going away for a time. And we are the servants. We are the doorkeepers. We are the servants. We are the one that he has put in charge. And you know what's heartbreaking? Is that Jesus is going to come back and find his church asleep. Jesus is going to come back and find Christians asleep because everything else is more important. When you look around in our churches today, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, that the church pews aren't as full as they used to be because people don't see the importance of being in church because there's so many other things that take precedence. I don't understand why birthday parties only happen on Sundays. I don't understand why ball games and everything else only happen on Sundays. I don't understand why the only time I can see my family is on Sundays. We put so many things ahead of Jesus Christ. And the question that I always have, how would you feel on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock if Jesus came back and you're in bed sleeping? Or you're at the ball game. I've actually had people tell me I can't stay in fellowship because the game's coming on. What? The church across America needs to wake up. The church across America has been lulled to sleep by the enemy. The church across America has become about concerts and smoke machines and fog machines and all this other stuff. We have gotten away from the message of the Bible. Churches have become about tickling the ears. Churches have become about compromise. Church has come about keeping people comfortable and keeping people happy and making sure nobody leaves mad. That is not the Bible. Jesus says when you preach the truth, you will offend. The master says, be on alert, stay awake. And what happens if the master of the house comes back and does not find the doorkeeper watching? What happens if the master comes back and does not find the servants doing what he has told them to do? There's going to be punishment. There's going to be consequences. Jesus is the master. He will be back. And when he comes back, what is he going to find us doing? I hate to say it, but there's a lot of sleeping church people. People that has become about going through the motions. It's become about my comforts and my wants. It's become about my needs and not reaching the lost. As I've said before, we have become a hotel for saints instead of a hospital for sinners. We've become a place where we come to feel good about ourselves. And yeah, there are times when we should come to church and feel good about ourselves. But that's not the entire truth. Yeah, we need to feel good about being the men and women that God has called us to be. We need to feel good when we share in our faith in Jesus Christ. We need to feel good when we're doing what is good and right. But we also need to understand the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes the truth of the Word of God can be radical. And sometimes the truth of the Word of God can offend. And sometimes the truth of the Word of God is something that we don't even want to hear. But the truth of the Word of God is the truth of the Word of God, whether we want to hear it or not. And the truth of the Word of God is Jesus is going to come back. And when Jesus left this earth, the last thing he said is go make disciples of all nations. So that means all nations, all people of all color, of all creed. Doesn't matter. Jesus says his church, his people, his body of believers are supposed to get out of their comfort zone and go make a difference in the world of all people. Every single church across America should be multi-ethnic. every church across America should be made up of people that look and act and seem different, because that is the command that God gave the church. Go and make disciples of all nations. And sadly, churches all across America have become nothing but social clubs. No, a good example is we say that we're going to go build a ramp for somebody, which is a good thing, but we call it a mission trip. That's not a mission trip. If you do not purposely present the gospel, if you do not tell somebody that they are lost and on their way to hell apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is not a mission trip. As one of my professors says, it's a holy work that ought to be done. Because it is. We need to build ramps for people. We need to help people with things around their house. But if there is no presentation of the gospel, it cannot be called a mission trip. We use excuses like this to not evangelize. Well, inviting someone to church, that's not evangelism. That's not missions. Should we invite people to church? Absolutely. Because they're going to hear the gospel when they get in here. And sadly, it's become about our comforts. Like my favorite analogy, and sometimes I'm guilty too. You know, we come in one Sunday and we're like, it's too hot in here. Then we come in the next Sunday, it's too cold in here. And no matter what we have the temperature set on, somebody's going to complain. Somebody's going to be too hot or too cold. And we can become so concerned about the temperature that we don't hear the message. What would it be like if we still lived in the days before air conditioner was invented? We should be happy and grateful for what we have and what God has given us. It's not going to be good for the master to come home and find the servant whom he told to watch sleeping. The way that we serve Jesus now should not change based on knowing the exact time that he's coming back. You and I should be serving Jesus right here, right now, like he's coming back in 5 minutes. We should be serving the Lord each and every day like he's coming back at the end of that day. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you change the way you lived your life today? If the answer to that is yes, then we're not living the Christian life like we're supposed to. Because we should be living every single day, every single moment, every single hour in the power of the Holy Spirit, believing and knowing that our Lord and Savior could come back at any moment. He could come back before I finish this message. He could come back before we get home. He could come back before we get to next week. We don't know. And so we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the return of our Savior by serving him with all that we are now. You and I should be watching out for Jesus. We should be serving him with everything that we are. We need to watch out for Jesus because he could come back at any moment. Churches all across America have been lulled to sleep by the enemy. Churches fight over things that don't have any value in eternity. In some cases, churches, like I said earlier, have become hotels and social clubs instead of the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. One commentary says this, and I'm going to warn you right now, this is hard to hear, because after I read this in the commentary, I had to stop working on my sermon for a few minutes. Commentary says, "Oh, how tragic it would be for our Lord to return and find his church asleep at the wheel, neglecting her assignment, squandering her resources, deceiving herself into thinking he won't come today. How tragic to say, tomorrow I will get busy serving him, only to discover tomorrow is never coming." Jesus says to watch 4 times. Shows us it's important. We need to be ready. We need to be alert. And we need to be the church he has called us to be. It is time for sleeping Christians and sleeping churches to wake up. It's time for us to get serious about our walk with Jesus Christ. It's time for us to put Jesus first. It's time for us to read the Word, understand the Word, and spend time in the Word, and to become people of the book, not people of tradition. It's time for us to become people who are on mission for Jesus Christ, who are making a difference in the world, telling others about Jesus. It's time for us to stand up and preach and teach the truth of the gospel. It's time for us to get out of our personal preferences, our personal opinions, and our personal personals, and just be the men and women that God has called us to be. It's not about us. It's not about our needs. It's about Jesus and the fact that He came to see lost people come to faith in Him. And He has entrusted us with that task. He has given that task to the church. He has given that task to His servants. The purpose of the church is to seek and to save the lost. That is its purpose. That is its function. And a church that is not seeking to save the lost is not a church. We need to be ready for our Savior could come back at any moment. When Jesus comes back, what will He find us doing? Will we be serving Him with all that we are? Will we be using our times, talents, and treasure for the glory of God and His great name? And we talked a little bit about last week. Greed is when we do not use our time, talent, and treasures to benefit and enhance the kingdom of God. It's when we squander resources and don't ever use them for anything. What good does a designated fund do if Christ comes back tomorrow and it's never used for His kingdom? And this is a problem with churches all across America. If somebody can show me in Scripture where designated funds are biblical, please show me. But what I read says bring the tithes to the storehouse. If you can show me where it's biblical, then I'll change my opinion and I'll stop talking about it. If you can show me where this is biblical, where we need to put money away for 20 years and never use it for anything to advance the kingdom of God, show me. Because a lot of times we get upset when people start preaching things we don't like to hear, regardless of what the Bible says. Jesus is coming back. And sadly, when He returns, He is going to find church after church after church asleep, neglecting its duties, neglecting its responsibilities, not being His hands and feet, not being the men and women that He's called to be, not getting outside of the walls of the church, not making a difference, only concerned about their own, only concerned about the people who are coming, only concerned about their comforts and their feelings, and not one mention of the lost. Again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Our priorities are often in the wrong place. Because sadly, when we as a church put on an event for the purpose of reaching lost people, we hardly have any church people show up. We do an event for the purpose of sharing the message of Jesus, trying to get the gospel out there, being on mission, and we have so little support from the church. Now, if we're having a meal for the church people, the place is packed. If we're trying to see lost people saved, very few show up. When Christ comes, will we be united or divided over issues that are secondary? What is God saying to you today? Do you know the signs of His return? Because they're everywhere. Do you hear and heed His words? Are you listening to the words of Jesus that says to be alert? Are you ready? If Jesus was to come back this afternoon, are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus comes back tomorrow. Are you ready? Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision to give your heart and your life to Christ. And if you're not ready, if you've never made that decision, you're not ready. The Bible says the church will be raptured before the Great Tribulation. And the Bible says that this Great Tribulation is going to be an awful time. When you read Revelation chapter 5 through 20, you just see the incredible intensity of the things that are going to be poured out upon this earth. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and He was to come back for His church today, you're going to live through that. And I promise you, you don't want to. And I'm not above scaring the hell out of you. Because we need to get to the point where we understand the importance of giving our heart and our life to Jesus Christ. Hell is real. It's not some made-up story that we use to scare people into obedience. It is real. And those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, when He comes back, will go through the tribulation. And when He comes back, will be judged and condemned. If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to give your life to Christ, I invite that you come. Lord, we thank You for this hard, difficult text that You give us. And I pray that each and every one of us would understand that these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is the one that multiple times says that we need to watch, that we need to be ready, that we need to be alert, that we need to be awake for the coming and the return of our Lord and Savior, because You could come at any moment. You could come at even any time. And we pray what the end of Revelation says, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I pray that when You come, You would find us ready. I pray that when You come, You would find us eager. I pray that when You come, You would find us serving. I pray that we would be seeking the lost to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that You would lay it upon our hearts and give us ideas and give us projects that we can do in order to reach the lost with the message, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that You would give us the opportunity to tell people about Jesus and their need for Him. And I pray that You would develop in each and every one of us a desire to see the lost people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and that You would give us the desire to do something about it, to make a difference. And I pray that You would grow this church in a mighty and powerful way, that You would grow our service, that You would grow us in using our time, talents, and treasure for the honor and the glory and the upbuilding of Your kingdom and not our own. And I pray, awesome Father, I pray that You would make a difference in this church. And I pray that You could radically, dynamically, incredibly change each and every one of us according to Your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would take over this church. I pray that You would take over each and every individual, and that we would allow the Spirit of Holy God to speak to us, that we would allow the Spirit of Holy God to take over, that we would allow the Spirit of Holy God to take control. And I pray that each and every one of us would awaken in a woke culture. I pray that we would wake up the right way, for the honor and the glory of Your name, for the truth of the Scripture, to be the men and women that You have called us to be on fire for You. And Lord, we do just ask that You would move in Your church. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.